Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Taffy Wallace. I am your prayer practitioner on duty today. My pronouns are she and her, and my ancestry is from the southwest of the United States via Nigeria and some other African countries. Thanks to, you know, DNA, I found that out. So I just want to welcome you all. I'm going to do an opening prayer. And if you would like prayer after service, anyone in one of our beautiful shawls is available for a short prayer. We also have a prayer vessel over there that you can write a prayer in. And online we have prayer available also. So let's just, let's do this, turning within. And it's a frequency of welcoming that I claim and acknowledge and know as we close our eyes and make our souls even more available for the reason we came here to be together today, for the upliftment, for the grace, for the power, for the wisdom, for the journey to one step closer to that power which is within. Through the beautiful music, through the word offered by Reverend Abigail, through the eyes and the hands of each of us, I say welcome, welcome to the best service ever. Abigail speaks with grace and power, and we are all uplifted. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for this frequency of prayer that says yes and allows for a wonderful experience. I let it be. It is done, and so it is.
Here I have a place, here I do belong, here there is no separation, here all is welcome. Well, thank you for writing my talk, Tabor. I'm glad I don't have to do anything else. Amen. And so it is. I spent last week on vacation. I took the week off, so I was here on Sunday. My prayer partner and Sangha member, Reverend Sarah, spoke. And she's, we have a ministerial group. I have five people in that Sangha. And then we went to Ketron Island, all five of us, and we hung out all week together, which was great. It was so healing and wonderful. And I got to see all kinds of birds. I discovered the American goldfinch. Wow, they're beautiful birds. Yeah. And I love the Swainson's thrush. I'm really loving being here. And I'm loving you for supporting me so much that you give me time off. And I really, really enjoyed it. So we're talking this month about wholeness. Whole no matter what. Whole no matter what. And it seems like, oh, such an easy topic. I don't know, you want to try it out for yourself? You want to talk about whole no matter what? It seems easy at the surface, I'm going to say. But when I started going underneath it, it's complicated. It's challenging. One of the images I love from Huayan Buddhism, and I've told you several times before, but I think it's really representative, is this idea of Indra's net. So in Indra's net, it's like there's a big net, and the net goes on infinitely. It goes in front of us, behind us, to the right, to the left, you know, above us, below us, every direction is Indra's net. And at every intersection, there's a jewel. And the jewel is multifaceted. And it shines so much that it reflects every other jewel in it. And I love that image because it's very much how I understand consciousness and reality and how we're so deeply interconnected that we reflect each other. And yet each is its own individual jewel. So I wonder, though, what if you take a jewel away? There's a gap or a hole. And if the jewel is missing, it's not whole, because it would reflect the lack of wholeness into the rest of it, and then it wouldn't be whole. So therefore, every single piece needs to be there. Every part of Indra's net is required for the thing to be whole. So each and every one of us are part of the wholeness that is. So I'm taking this kind of in layers today. The first thing, the first layer is our own individual wholeness. And I wonder, how many times have you considered yourself not whole, perfect, and complete? Oh, a few people in the room are raising their hands. I love it. I am not alone. And one of the questions I might ask you is, I just want to say, my intention is not to offend anybody today. And I'm using this as an example. If somebody, a human, had their arm amputated or they're missing a digit on their finger, do you consider them unwhole? In my head, the answer is no. I wouldn't consider, if anybody came in, they're missing a part of themselves that is the what we would imagine a human would look like. I wouldn't say they're not whole. I would say they're whole, perfect, and complete. So in my head, it's a good example for me because I can say, I can look at that person, I can see them as whole. However, what about when we turn around and look at ourselves? What if we have a diagnosis or we have some kind of conditions going on in our lives? Do we consider ourselves not whole because this thing is going on in our lives? If I've experienced cognitive decline, if I've had a health thing, I've had something with disease in my body, does that mean I am not whole? And the answer is no, you are whole, perfect, and complete in that sense as well. So part of the spiritual practice, the invitation is, can I see and feel and experience my wholeness exactly as I am? Can I experience my wholeness with the body I'm in, with the conditions that are happening in my life? Can I consider myself whole? And if you can't, that's where your spiritual practice comes in. Can I get myself back to my wholeness? Can I reconnect with the truth of my being that I'm whole? Do you wonder if you belong because you have an accent, because you have a diagnosis? Do you wonder if you belong because your body moves differently? Do you wonder if you belong because you have a story of a past history? And so my answer to you is, you belong. We need you. Every jewel in the net is essential for the wholeness of the net to be there. And so whoever you are, and whatever you came in this room or online, you came as part of a whole expression of the divine. Each and every facet in that net is a facet of the divine that's showing up in its multiplicity and its wholeness, exactly as you are and exactly as you are not. Ernest Holmes said this in a 1931 talk called Let There Be Peace. He said, the world is an aggregation of individuals, just as our bodies are made up of countless numbers of cells. And where the cells remain in harmonious relationship to each other, there's no pain. In other words, a body, a family, a congregation, a nation, none of them get healthier by deciding that its cells don't matter. It gets sick. So where in your life have you opted out, deciding your voice, your gift, your own individual specific oddness did not matter and isn't needed? So that's the first invitation, is getting really clear that you matter, that who you are is unique and special, and a valuable, individualized expression of the One. And I encourage you to remember it. And anytime you're off kilter, get into a meditation place or journaling place to recenter yourself and reground yourself. Get some prayer from a practitioner or for yourself. Pray for yourself if you can get yourself back into that realization of who you truly are. So the second idea gets a little bit more spiritually challenging. And this idea is that what we deny to someone else, we're denying it to ourselves as well, whether we notice it or not. That our value is valuable, and so is everybody around us. There's a story that's in the Naj Hammadi from the Gospel of Mary. So this was a group of scrolls that were discovered. And so there's more stories about Jesus that are not in what we know as the Bible today. And in this story, it talks about Mary, and it's from after Jesus has died, and Mary has a vision of Jesus, a prophetic vision of some information that came through her from Jesus. And in the story, the disciples are like, why would he give you a vision and not us? The patriarchy was alive at that time. And there was this idea that women didn't have value. And there was a person who said, if the master thought she was valuable enough to have this vision, then she must be pretty darn valuable. And this is an exceptional thing. We should listen. And the disciples chose to listen. Even though they wanted it to be them, they chose to listen to what she had to say. So I wonder, where are we also not seeing another person's wholeness? Just like the disciples were not valuing or seeing Mary as a whole individual who's tuned in to the universe and has the same gifts that they all have, where are you doing that? Where am I doing that to somebody else? So the question is, where am I othering? Where am I othering people? Which means I might be talking about somebody else and denying their value in the world. So the big spiritual invitation is to look at somebody else and see them as whole, despite what their actions are, or especially if you disagree with them. Can you see them as whole? Can you see them as offering value into the world? So what I've recognized is there are people that are challenging for me to get to that place, but the question is, can I see the value that they are contributing to the world? One of my own growth opportunities that I've done is I've chosen to read literature and explore different perspectives that are different than my own perspective. So I am a gay white woman who's in her 40s. What if I read material from people who are different than me? What would I learn? What would it open me up to on the wholeness of this big, beautiful thing that is the infinite world that's expressing itself? Can I open myself up to a different perspective that might be opposite or different than mine and see it as part of the fabric of reality that is emerging as wholeness? And it's a challenge. So nobody said you were going to come into this room, we're going to be like, here, it's easy. This is exactly what you get to do, is just say, okay, everything's at face value and I don't have to change anything or look at anything differently. Because the invitation when you walk into a room like this is really to connect with the depth of who you are, who you are created to be, and how we are integral to each other. How important it is that we recognize the beauty and the diversity and the multiplicity of the one. And so it's a growth edge for me always. And I lean into it because if people who are different than me feel welcome here, I am doing my job. And that is a challenge because sometimes we all have different perspectives and different viewpoints. And how can everybody be valuable at the same time? How can that be? Well, it is. Can I see it from that perspective? In 2017, there was a campaign of the Wanguni Maori of New Zealand. They campaigned for 140 years to grant legal personhood to a river, which they actually got in 2017. And the way they got it is the iwi had a saying as an argument, I am the river and the river is me. And they were so convinced to champion for this river that after 140 years, the government agreed to it. The government agreed to it. Now they did not give up. They argued and said, you cannot harm the river without harming the people, and you cannot harm the people without harming the river. Because the two were never actually separate to begin with. They wanted to create a system that wasn't so separate, so that one couldn't exploit the other. And they created it. So if that's possible, what else is possible for us? Can we create systems and ways of being that acknowledge and appreciate everybody? Now, it's a challenge. But I recognize that if the infinite universe, God itself, if you call it that, but I love the infinite universe, created every single bug on this planet, and billions of planets, probably billions of universes, different ways of reality, every possibility and every potentiality resides in it. Do you think that it could create something that worked for all of us? And could we be a part of that infinite everything and a part of that co-creation? I think we could. I think I am. I think we are. And the invitation is to practice it in our everyday beingness of life. And also be open to the possibility that maybe we might be co-creators in it. See, that's what I love about quantum physics. It's like reality isn't really reality. We think it's reality. Everything, Sarah said this last week, we think everything is tangible and physical, but the truth is when you zoom in to the quantum field, there's nothing there except light and particles that are popping in and out of reality. And so everything is this energetic, and when I put my attention and awareness and consciousness on something, reality collapses around it and makes what we think is physical in reality, and then we treat it as if it is. And if that can happen on a micro scale, it's also happening on the macro scale. So if we can collectively agree on what we would love as an intention to co-create as a new reality, then reality will collapse around it and make it a possibility. But we have to be willing to dream. We have to be willing to say that there's something else possible, and I choose to see it. And I know that the infinite universe is big enough, it's bigger than my own individual experience of it, and it could be big enough to create something beyond my imagining, which I believe is what is happening now. And I'm participating in it just by being open and saying yes to it. Because it is wholeness realizing itself. There's a story in the Dead Sea Scrolls where the disciples ask when God's reign will come. And Jesus said, now I don't do a lot of Jesus quotes. By the way, if you received an email from me that's from Jesus Minister 82, it's not really from me. There's a spam email going out. Not from me. But I do like Jesus. But I would not be a self-proclaimed Jesus minister. I do like all of the other religious beliefs as well. But in this particular teaching, the disciples ask when God's reign will come, and Jesus tells them it is already spread out across the earth, but people do not see it. It's not a future reward. It's not somewhere else. It's already here, already spread across the very ground we walk on and unseen. And I love that because that's how I see things, is when I remember the wholeness that I already am. All of the qualities of the divine, I think of peace and love and joy and harmony. All of these are expressions of the divine. They are all existing in this room. I just have to see it. And when I do, reality collapses around it as an experience. So in that, I encourage you to think of how can I be fully myself, whole, perfect, and complete. By the way, perfection-free zone is also perfect, just to make a little, like, this center we claim as a perfection-free zone, that's because the truth is we're perfect in our imperfection. So where can I bring the wholeness of who I am fully into the room, knowing that my value is valuable exactly as I am? And where can I stop denying value to somebody else? And where can I look at the places that I might be othering? I might be looking at somebody else and saying they're not valuable. And where can I say, this person has value? And where can I create a world where the values of all who are here can come into existence in a way that supports this idea that we are so intertwined that our lives are interdependent on each other. And can I participate in a co-creation of a world that works for all, which is the global vision of Centers for Spiritual Living? And I choose to just say yes. And so the invitation is, can you do one action this week that is a representation, a representation of that wholeness? Maybe it's for yourself, bringing the full self of you into the room. Maybe it's noticing where you're othering somebody and instead of othering them, pulling them in. Maybe it's reading another perspective that's different than yours. And maybe it's dreaming of what that vision would look like. Because it doesn't matter which one of those you select. The idea is that you're participating in the co-creation of the realization of the wholeness of who we are. So let's pray. I am so grateful to be participating in a community that does question and look at itself in a way that provides an evolution of consciousness, not just for me individually, but for us collectively. I choose to see that the ground of all being, the ground upon which I walk, is a ground upon where the infinite is. The divine holiness of all life is everywhere I go. It is here, it is in and through all things, all people, all places, and I choose to see with those eyes. I am reminded of the times I forget that it's all unfolding in a way that supports the wholeness of all. And when I forget, I bring myself back to center, knowing that the beauty and the love is emerging as an evolution of consciousness that's happening in me. So I reconnect with my love, I reconnect with my harmony, I reconnect with my wholeness, I reconnect with my power, knowing that my power empowers others, that my love uplifts others, that when I'm uplifting others, they are uplifting me, and that we create this crazy, amazing universe that is better than we can imagine. I center into that awareness, and I'll keep bringing myself back to it this week, over and over and over and over again. Because as I do, it lifts me, it shifts me, it gifts me, and it makes me see the value in everybody. I acknowledge it, I appreciate it, I am it, I embody it, and I know the same is true for each and every person here, that we are the embodiment of love in this physical time-space reality. It leads the way. It informs me. And it saves the day. And for that, I'm grateful. And so I release this prayer knowing it's already done. God's got it. The universe has it. The infinite has it. The great creator has it. And it's already creating upon it. Better than I can imagine, and so it is.